We're continuing our series on the 23rd Psalm, and I trust that this passage of Scripture is becoming more than words to you, but something that you live in your life every day. I've challenged you to commit it to memory, and I just encourage you to continue to do that. If you haven't been, I want to tell you, you can do this. Just take it a phrase at a time. It's not that hard, and it will be a great blessing to you. So we're going to say it all the way through verse 5 today. It'll be on the screen if you need it, but if you don't, we'll just say it. But however you do it, say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Amen. Amen. Being in the care of the shepherd is a wonderful thing. He takes care of us even in the darkest times of life. He is there to guide us safely through. We see in verse 5, it's more than just getting us through, that he wants to give us an abundant life. He blesses us abundantly. He brings us to a table of blessing. You prepare a table before me. The word that's translated as table here is a word that implies a dinner or a feast. He's prepared a feast for us. So in verses 1 through 4, you know, David is speaking metaphorically about green pastures and still waters and the shepherd's staff. But here he gives us a different metaphor, a metaphor of a dinner or a feast, this table that's been prepared for us, and we are protected from our enemies. He anoints our head with oil and our cup overflows. It's about a feast, not a literal feast. It is symbolic of the blessings of God, a table of blessings. I grew up in a home where you ate what was fixed. Anybody else? You know, nowadays, some people act like that's child abuse. Well, I actually raised my kids that way as well. Carmen and I did. You know, they ate what was fixed. And there were times it was hard. I remember one time I had to tell my 5-year-old daughter, I said, you cannot have any more Brussels sprouts until you eat some of the rest of your food. True story. She already had 2 helpings. She wants a third. I'm like, you got to eat something else. My kids were weird, aren't they? Well, you see why. You know why, right? But here's the thing. We've all been to some dinners, hopefully, had some dinners where there was all different kinds of food. There was so much food, you know, you couldn't possibly eat it all, even though we gave it our best. But can you imagine what it would look like if the Lord prepared the table? I mean, if we were talking about actual food, what would that look like if the Lord prepared the table? Wow. Well, get this. It's not actual food. It's a table of blessings. He has prepared for us a feast. He is a God who wants to bless his people. And he brings us, he's prepared for us a table of blessings. Amen. Under his care, there's too many blessings to even count. You know, when you talk about a dinner and fixing a dinner and having the table prepared. My wife does that to have family or friends come together. And, you know, it's not just about the food. Now, she prepares that food with love because she wants us to come and enjoy. But there's something besides food at those times. I mean, it's more than our stomachs get full. Our hearts get full. And I want you to understand that this table that the Lord has prepared for us, It will fill your heart and your soul. Psalm 107 and verse 9 says, He satisfies the longing soul and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. You see, in this world, there's too much emphasis put on material things. Even in the church world, there's so much emphasis put on material things. Those things can never satisfy. They don't fill the soul. But He satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. I want you to know that what He offers, it truly satisfies. It's not like the things of this world that are so empty. I want to remind you this morning that the Bible is a book of blessings. It speaks of blessings over 500 times. Our God is a good God and He wants to bless His people. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? It is a state of well-being or happiness. I always have to add this though, happy just doesn't really quite do it justice because it's beyond happy. It's a step beyond that. Just to help us understand a little better, though, I think it helps to consider the opposite of blessed. The opposite of blessed is cursed and miserable. I want to be opposite of that. That's blessed. That's what God wants to do in our lives. You know, sometimes we just aren't really even aware of all of the blessings that are available to us. And I encourage you as a child of God to search the scriptures and see all of the promises and the blessings that are available to you. There are blessings of health and family and success and prosperity and victory and joy and peace and divine protection, divine provision, and on and on and on. So many blessings that are available to us. Deuteronomy tells us about the curse of the law. And the New Testament tells us that we've been delivered from the curse of the law. Aren't you glad? But did you know that nowhere does it tell us we're delivered from the blessings? There are still blessings for those who obey the Lord. He blesses that. Amen. We have, the Bible says, a better covenant, not a lesser covenant. It's even better. We need to realize the blessings that are available to us as a child of God. We're so rich in Christ. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Now, I'm going to give preachers the blame for this, but even in the body of Christ today, there's an attitude that a lot of people have embraced this and they just go along with this. They would rather have the material blessings than every spiritual blessing. Preacher, don't talk to me about spiritual blessing. Talk to me about the material things. No. Those things can't satisfy. Those things will leave you empty. Every spiritual blessing. Let's talk about these spiritual blessings for just a minute. In Christ, we're forgiven. We're restored in relationship to Almighty God. In Christ, we have the blessing of redemption through His blood. The blessing of righteousness that we can be right with God. The blessing of salvation. We are accepted in the Beloved. We have the blessing of being the children of God, His sons and daughters. What an amazing thing to truly be called a child of God. Listen, I'm not talking about some, superficial worldly thing. We're all children of God. I'm talking about what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children, the sons and daughters of God. It's a wonderful thing. What a spiritual blessing to truly be a son, a daughter of God. We have an eternal inheritance. inheritance. We've been set apart from this world to be God's holy people. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. We have the Holy Spirit. He's given us as a gift to indwell and live in the believer. What a wonderful spiritual blessing, better than anything this world has to offer. We have a peace the world can't give. We got a joy that's inexpressible. We got a love that knows no bounds. Amen. These are spiritual blessings that each and every one of us can have. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Don't take those blessings for granted. You see, sometimes people just don't really think about it. They disregard the blessings of God, and consequently, they miss out on so much. Psalm 68 and 19 said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." Did you know that God will daily load you with benefits? You're applying for a job, checking the salary, and what are the benefits? Well, let me tell you, serving God, living for God, there are daily benefits, better than those kinds of benefits. Amen. Daily, He loads us with benefits. Here's just a few of them mentioned in Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Don't forget. "Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction." Yes. "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I'll tell you, He's good to us. He prepares a table before us, a feast of blessings. In the presence of our enemies. Wow. One child was angry after dad had disciplined him. And when they came to the dinner table, dad thought, "Well, I'm going to have him say the prayer. Maybe that'll help his attitude." And the boy bowed his head and he said, "Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I don't think that's what David had in mind when he wrote those words. In fact, that boy might have got another whooping. I don't know. That's not why we're memorizing the song. But last week, we talked about the valley of the shadow of death. And I told you that life is not all green valleys and still waters. And I'm going to tell you this morning that life is not all sitting at the table and enjoying the feast. There are battles and struggles, and there are still, listen, we can't just write this off and say, "Oh no, we're done with that." There are valleys, dark valleys, that we have to go through sometimes in life. But we go through, and He leads us on to a place where we sit at the table of the blessings of God, safe from all of our enemies. And I'll tell you, David certainly knew about this. It was something, he had had so many battles and so much trouble and heartache in his life, and yet the Lord brought him safely through it all. It's amazing when you read in the scripture the stories in the life of David, how often he faced terrible battles and odds set against him where there's no way he could win, and yet God would bring him through. I want to read just a little bit. You know, with David, at the, near the end of his life, he wrote a song about it, and he kind of tells both sides of this because he tells about the battle, but he also tells about the God who delivered him. I'm going to read 2 Samuel 22, 2 through 7 to begin with. He says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge. My Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. And he heard my voice from his temple and my cry entered his ears. And I want to read on from verse 17. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. You see, David had those dark times, so many battles, so many struggles, but he said this, the Lord is my refuge. He not only testified about God's power to keep him and to bring him through, but he talked about the Lord being a fortress and a refuge. And you see, even when we're going through a battle in our life, we come to the table of the Lord to be blessed, and in the presence of our enemies, you see, there's a refuge. Even in that battle, there's a refuge. There's a place where we can be refreshed and filled, strengthened for the battle. David knew it, that with all his enemies around him, that the Lord would still bless him. You have any enemies? We all have enemies at times, but not just the enemies of this world, people. No, I'm talking about there's an enemy of our soul who is always against us, always out for our harm. But Romans 8:31 tells us, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? You see, when God is the one who's protecting you, you're going to be all right. You're going to come out on the other side in victory. We're safe at the Lord's table. You know, in the culture in which this psalm was written, when somebody came to your home and they sat at your table, it was your responsibility to protect them. Not just family and loved ones, but even if a stranger showed up at your door, you were to provide a meal for them. And you were to protect them. They were to be safe in your household. And one of the many examples of this in Scripture is when the angels, two angels came to Lot's house to warn him of the destruction of Sodom. And the men of that wicked city, they were so evil, they came and they wanted Lot to send those men, those angels out because they wanted to have relations with them. How evil and how wicked. Lot stands outside the door and he defends them. Lot didn't have the power to defend them against the whole city, but he was willing to put his life on the line. That was the culture. Now, we know the rest of the story, that those angels smote those men with blindness and they couldn't even find the door. But here's what I want to say to you about that. When the Lord prepares a table for us, he is well able to protect us from any enemy. They may be all around. It doesn't matter. They're no match for our God. He can take care of us. We just need to not worry about people trying to attack us, saying bad things about us. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. See, even in the Old Testament, our righteousness was from the Lord. It's not from just our righteousness. That's filthy rags. Our righteousness comes from the Lord. But I want to tell you, in 40-something plus years of ministry, now listen, we all go through this, but I got to say, in my life as a pastor, as a youth pastor and a pastor, there have been so many times when I was attacked verbally, when people were talking about me and saying bad things about me. And I got to tell you, the truth is a lot of the time it got to me. It really bothered me. It upset me because, you know, I knew that those kinds of things can be damaging and cause problems. But here's the thing. God kept me through all of it. And by the way, little of that lately, because I pastor the sweetest people, and I thank God for that every day, because I know what it's like to have the other. But there were times when there were people that spoke out. When I was a youth pastor, they tried to get me fired. Times when people would fight and oppose me. I mean, just tell you, I'm going to fight you. How weird is that? Times when people tried to accuse me of wrongdoing. Times when people hated me, they couldn't even tell me why. They just said, we hate you, I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God kept me through all of that. And you see, what we need to do is not focus on the haters, but focus on the table that the Lord has prepared for us, that He blesses us, and He will take care of us. Even in the presence of our enemies, we're going to be just fine. He is able to bless you in spite of opposition. There's a great example of this in Genesis chapter 26. There's a great famine in the land. And the Lord told Isaac not to leave and go to Egypt, but stay where he was, and he said he would bless him there. And so this is what it says in Genesis 26 and 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. 100-fold. 100-fold. Most of us, we get excited when there's just a little bit of increase. The Lord increased him 100-fold. Isaac, the Bible says he became very rich. The Philistines in that area, they despised him. They envied how blessed he was. And Isaac's men would dig a well, and then they would come along. The Philistines would claim that it was theirs. And he would move over, being a peacemaker, he'd move over and they'd dig another well and they'd claim that one was theirs. And this went on for a while, but Isaac was so blessed of the Lord, the Philistines saw it. They saw that it was the blessing of God on his life, and they feared him. They came to him and they wanted to make a covenant, an oath with him that they wouldn't harm one another. I just want you to know that God can protect you and he can bless you so much that people will be afraid to mess with you. He can do that. In the presence of your enemies, he can still bless you. And when a man's ways please the Lord, Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what happened for Isaac, is he made even those enemies be at peace with him. You anoint my head with oil. That's something we don't do in our culture. Talk about that with my wife, and you anoint my head with oil. She says, that's gross, right? We don't want oily hair. But it was something different in the scripture, of course. And I think the first thing that most people think about is a king being anointed, like David was anointed to be king, or a priest being anointed to serve, or some other ceremonial anointing. But there was another use of anointing that's very common in the scripture. You see it over and over again. And that is that at a feast, the host would honor his guest and show them favor by anointing their head with oil. I mean, there was two things that a host would do for their guest if they wanted to show them honor and favor. Number one, when they came in, they would have somebody wash their feet. And number two, they would anoint their head with oil. This was part of their normal grooming. We might not understand that, but this was a way the host could refresh them and show favor to them. And we see this clearly in Luke chapter 7. Here's one of the examples. Jesus goes to eat at the house of Simon the Pharisee. And the Bible says that a woman who was known to be a sinner came in. And she began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she poured this expensive perfumed oil on his feet. And Jesus says to Simon, he says, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. You see, she anointed the feet of Jesus with this expensive perfumed oil because she loved him. She was showing favor to him and love to him. And when the Lord anoints our head with oil, it is the Lord showing his love for us. It is that he favors us. And you need to know that God has his hand on you, that he wants to bless you, to favor you. You know what grace is? It's unearned favor. And all we are the recipients of God's grace, his unearned favor. My cup runs over. That is abundance. It runs over, overflows. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Now, in this world, a lot of people are mixed up. They think that God is the one who steals and kills and destroys. But no, he is the one who gives abundant life. Not just life, but a life that's overflowing with life. My cup runs over. It means there's more than enough. You know, in this world, people will run after all kinds of things to try to satisfy. Money, success, fame, romance. They'll run after all kinds of things to try to satisfy what only he can satisfy. None of those things can ever truly fill our cup. They say we try to use those things to fill our cup. It's like our cup's got a hole in it. It's never enough. You see, the one who makes $1 billion, it's still not enough. Whatever successes we have, it's still not enough. He is the only one that can give us that living water that will fill our soul, that can truly satisfy. In Luke chapter 15, it tells a story about a son. We call him the prodigal son. He demands to have his inheritance early. His father gives it to him. He leaves and he goes to another place and he wastes all of his money on sinful living. And then there's a great famine in the land and he doesn't have anything. And so he goes to work for a pig farmer, a pig rancher. There's a job I never aspired to have. How about you? And his job was to feed the pigs. Now, I don't know what they call it nowadays. When I was a kid, they called it slopping the pigs because pigs will eat anything. You see, that's where this old world will want to take you. I mean, you can be making a whole lot of money, but eating pig slop. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. It's not about that. It's not about worldly success. It is about something that truly satisfies on the inside. But the Bible tells us that this happened to this young man, Luke 15 and 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Here I am, starving to death, but in my father's house, even the servants have more than enough." Now we know this son went home and restored in relationship to his father. And this is to illustrate to us that our Heavenly Father loves us. And when we have strayed away, if we'll turn to him, he will receive us with open arms and love us. But there is another spiritual truth here, that this one went out looking for other things to satisfy. But you see, when he came to himself, when he finally woke up, he realized that in the Father's house was everything that he needed. That was truly satisfies. My cup runs over. My cup runs over. Is your cup full this morning? Is your cup running over? It's available to you. It really is. What are we supposed to be full of? The Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. We should be full of the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the love of God. Amen. We should be overflowing. You know what? When there's overflow, when there's more than enough, it's not just you that gets it, but people around you get it. Amen. That's the life that we've been called to. My cup. I'm so blessed. My cup overflows. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come.